The Cap and J-Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago!
That's why I see him in the shot. No shot. With Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
It's Cap and J-Hood here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. I'm Chris Bleck along with Tyler Aki filling in for Cap and J-Hood this morning. You can listen to Bleck and Abdallah weeknights 6 to 8 right here on ESPN 1000. You can hear Tyler with Waddle and Sylvie from 2 to 6 and also Basketball U on the ESPN Chicago app. Now it's time for Shot or No Shot with Shay Norling. Snorebore. Snore.
Yes, and it's brought to you by Club Hawthorne. Put a little more action into your weekend at one of Hawthorne's 16
Snoremore.
Newly remodeled betting bars, or bet the races from home or on the go with the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app.
Hello, Shay.
Hi, Chris. Hi, Aki. How are you?
Good morning Shay. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for welcoming to me.
No, I always like that. Cap and Hood say hello and good morning to you like they haven't been talking to you for the last hour. I like it.
Yeah, it's especially good when I'm like involved in the first hour. Oh, we say good morning.
Good morning. Hello, Shay. Good morning to the show. And good morning to Travis Wacker.
Travis
walks by the studio. All right, Shay, go ahead with Shot or No Shot.
All right, let's get started. The Bears have played in the third most Thanksgiving Day games at 37 games. They will not play tomorrow. The Bears played on Thanksgiving last year. They got a bizarre 16-14 win over the Lions in Detroit to improve to 20-15-2 when they do play on the holiday. But my question, Shot or No Shot, Thanksgiving is better when the Bears don't play.
Absolute shot. I enjoy the football on Thanksgiving. It's what makes Thanksgiving so special. The food cooking, the smells in the house, and then the football. You're watching football all day long, but I don't need to dedicate the entire day to a Bears game. And what I mean by that is, like, it's nice to have the Lions getting their brains beat in the background. It's nice to float into the living room, boom. There's some of the third quarter. Oh, I've got to go do this. And you float back out. You go do whatever is taking place on Thanksgiving. I don't need to sit there glued to the chair and watch football where it actually matters. I like to have it with everything else that takes place on Thanksgiving. I enjoy all the football, and I enjoy also the Egg Bowl will be at night. There's college football, NFL. It's all there, but I don't need the Bears to make it a great day.
I'm going to say no shot here with a caveat. Mm. I hate when they play the Lions, but if they play the Cowboys or whoever in the night game.
Well, afternoon.
I'm good with that. I like seeing the Bears in those slots, but if they're playing the Lions, count me out. I don't like watching that first Lion, that sleepy Lions game, right? Oh, it's the worst.
And you Michiganders are just, you love the Lions 11 o'clock kickoff here in the Midwest, right? You love that on Thanksgiving?
Doesn't move me at all.
Well,
it actually angers me because often it delays when you eat dinner.
I thought it was a part of the personality of someone from Michigan. Like that, what else do you have? The Ford Motor Company, right? And you have the Lions playing on Thanksgiving.
And your paws.
And the paw.
And your paws.
Got a lot of nice lakes. There's a lot to do outdoors in the summer. It's a wonderful state, Chris. You should visit.
No, I have. I enjoy Michigan. It's a good time. Traverse City is fantastic. There's a little wine country up there. It's nice. I love it. Wow. Snoreboard did not like the shots I took at Michigan.
Ford Motor Company and the Lions on Thanksgiving.
What else do you have?
That's all the
Little Caesars.
Yeah. What else do you have?
Don't put that on me. Jets pizza. That's what we have.
Oh, jeez. Just pour the grease right into your
mouth. Have you been to the Little Caesars Arena?
Yeah.
That's just a giant Little Caesars. I went when it just opened. I walked in and I was just like, this is just a giant Little Caesars.
A bigger version of the store.
This is like HQ right here. Yeah. Like, that's what this is.
Tyler's right. It is. With some seats.
Yeah. That's a horrible name for an arena. Just awful.
I mean, dude, didn't they design the stadium to have a faux like promenade inside.
Yes, yes. At the top.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And do people even go? Like, wasn't the design to be like, this is the party location. Everyone's going to go and walk. It's like going to Wrigleyville, but inside.
Yeah.
I could do an hour on what they've done with that place and what a failure it's been. I don't want to. So let's just move
on.
It's
so red.
So I think I'm right on Michiganders. I think I am. You didn't give me a third thing.
Tyler gave us Little
Caesars and you said Jets.
Got some nice little ski hills around in southeast Michigan there.
Yeah.
There's plenty.
Okay.
Got the Tigers.
What yeah. about the UP, huh?
Yeah.
The UP.
What about it?
I'm trying to give all you right, ammo we're trying, here. We're trying to give you some ammo.
That's not helping.
All right,
let's
shot
move
or
on,
no
boys.
Shot. What's next, Shay?
Starling.
Robert Saleh has not committed to naming Zach Wilson the starter for the Jets this weekend against the Bears, meaning the Jets could run either Mike White or Joe Flacco at quarterback. Shot or no shot? If it's White or Flacco, the Jets actually have a better chance to win.
I think that's a shot. I think that Zach Wilson is not good. And I think we've seen in these contests that when the Jets can't move the football, Zach Wilson not only is not progressing the football down the field, he also is taking wild chances, which not always are turning into interceptions because the defense is dropping it. It's the old Mitch Trubisky thing where he throws the ball so poorly that it hits the defender square in the hands that they don't even know what to do with it. That's what Zach Wilson is doing sometimes. So I think it is a possible shot that without Zach Wilson, the Jets they might be better off without Wilson starting a quarterback.
That's an 100% shot for me. I mean, just look at some of the quotes coming out of the locker room too. Like, this may inspire the rest of the offense too, because they don't seem sold on Zach Wilson either. So if you can get the rest of the Garrett Wilsons to buy in a little bit more, then you've got something a little bit better, I think, as an offense there. And we've seen the pop-up Mike White game before. We've seen the pop-up Joe Flacco game before.
Yeah.
Like, it could certainly happen again with the Jets. So I'm going to say, yeah, shot.
All right, Odell Beckham
Snorboard.
Jr.
What do you have?
Snorling.
What's next? Snorling.
I got you. Odell Beckham Jr. has started talking with teams about a contract for the end of the season. Teams in the hunt include his former Giants, while Dak Prescott has personally reached out to OBJ about joining the Cowboys, where apparently the interest is mutual, if you ask Dak. And Von Miller made a case on his Twitch stream for OBJ to join Bills Mafia, as Von Miller said. So shot or no shot for me. If OBJ joins the Cowboys and stays healthy, they will go to the Super Bowl.
Well, that's no shot. I don't think that Odell Beckham Jr. is the reason that the Cowboys make or break the Super Bowl. I think this team is a top five team. I think they showed it to you against the Vikings, but I think they absolutely have a chance to get to the Super Bowl. I don't think it has anything to do with Odell Beckham Jr. So I'm going to say no shot to the question. I think the Cowboys are one of the best teams in the NFL, though.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think that this Cowboys team, because they may play the best complementary football in the NFC. Like, the Eagles have been good, but we've seen times where that offense really sputters for a half or for multiple quarters in a game. I feel like you get complete efforts out of the Cowboys on both sides of the football. I mean, just look at what happened when you were trotting Cooper Rush out there and still not just hanging in games, but winning a lot of football games as well. Then you upgrade back to Dak Prescott.
Right.
And it looks like nothing skipped a beat there, and the defense has been fantastic all season long. So I'm going to co-sign with you. No shot, but it's not because of... I still think that they are a Super Bowl contender, but Odell Beckham, not the reason.
We are all three of us college football fans, so I want to make sure we get this in. The playoff rankings had the top four stay put: Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, and TCU. Obviously, that will change after Ohio State and Michigan play this weekend. And surprisingly, two-loss LSU was the first team out at number five, while one-loss USC.
Oh, I'm sorry, my finger slipped. What were you saying, Shay?
One loss USC
Fight on.
Checks in at number six. My question, shot or no shot? Two loss LSU making a four-team playoff would be borderline criminal levels of SEC bias.
So you're suggesting SC wins out. They win the Pac-12, but yet LSU still gets in. Is Georgia making it in your situation? So two teams get in
the
from the SEC?
The scenario would be LSU beats Georgia in the title game.
So you're keeping Georgia in, even though they lose in the SEC championship
game. You would end up with probably LSU, Ohio State, Michigan, TCU, and then Georgia.
So I understand the case for LSU in that situation. I would say this, though. LSU has two losses to top 25 teams. So when you kind of put this all together, USC at the moment does not have the amount of top 25 wins to compare with LSU. But they could. At the end of this, when it's all said and done, if they beat Notre Dame this weekend and they win the Pac-12 championship against a ranked opponent, which we assume at the moment would be Oregon, who's ranked ninth, that would be a more impressive resume to me, even though the SEC is worthy of the description of the best college football conference in all of college football. I would say at that point, if Georgia loses, don't you have to really debate putting Georgia into the college football playoff? The SEC, if you're sending LSU, they win the SEC championship game. Like, I get that they've been the best team all season. I don't know how you can just assume two SEC schools into the college football playoff. I mean, basically, for LSU and USC, you need TCU to lose. And if TCU loses, it kind of takes care of itself, because at the moment, if we look at the matchup this weekend with Ohio State and Michigan, Michigan's resume is not good enough to withstand a loss. So Michigan is the team that has to win to get in,
I
think.
Neither is Ohio State's, by the way.
Yeah, well, Ohio State has the one win that you can point to that has a connection to everybody else, and that's Notre Dame.
Notre Dame
is sitting at 15. Notre Dame is the reason that Clemson is at 8. Notre Dame is the reason that either USC will move up or they'll be eliminated, and Ohio State took out the Irish to start the season. So Notre Dame is going to play in all of this. Even though they're 15th, they have connections to all of these teams up in the top six. So I think, really, Michigan and TCU, if they lose, then I think it works itself out.
I'm with you there. I think that in the case of LSU, this late in the season, if you're 5 and you beat one, you're in. And you are a conference champion in the best conference in the sport. And not just that, but they'll have 3 top 10 wins on the season. Beating Alabama earlier, they beat Ole Miss when they were in the top 10, and then you would have beaten Georgia. And to do it in succession and to kind of find your stride the way that they did down the stretch there, I want the 4 best teams in, and LSU will have played themselves into that criteria at the end.
Okay, so Georgia, what do you do with Georgia in that situation?
I think you keep them in.
You keep them in. So
the
you would say
football, right?
You would say a shot to Shay's question. I'm going to say a no shot.
So the question was what about SEC bias, right?
Yeah, LSU getting
it. So you're saying the best
I don't think it's an SEC bias, though. Like, Georgia's put it on teams all season long.
Georgia putting it on Tennessee was the best win of the season.
They were also home, and I think we could perhaps look back at that win and say maybe Tennessee was rated a little bit higher than they should have been. You know,
in the eyes of the committee, they gift wrapped Georgia the best win of the season, even if we think it's fake.
Yes, right. Because the positioning of Tennessee to number one when they shouldn't have been number one, I think it's something that
If LSU beats Georgia, that's the best win of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. So. I totally agree with you. Mm-hmm. Snorbor, shot or no shot, what's next?
According to a poll by Zippia, the most popular Thanksgiving side dish in Illinois is mashed potatoes. Oh. Ohio and Indiana both answered green beans. Michigan answered rolls. Wisconsin answered baked potatoes.
How are you standing up for that state this morning?
Honestly, it shocked me when I heard
rolls.
That was egregious.
No butter, just the roll.
Wisconsin answered baked potato. New York answered sweet potatoes with marshmallows. Shot or no shot, mashed potatoes are the number one Thanksgiving side dish.
Yeah, when I think turkey, the sidecar Willy there, that would be the mashed potato to the turkey. I also appreciate mac and cheese. Mm-hmm. We didn't used to do mac and cheese when I was younger. Implemented that as of late. It's great.
It's a great addition.
Great. I love it. But yeah.
The baked mac and cheese, right?
Yes.
The best.
But mashed potatoes would be my number one side.
Yeah, I'm with you. Mashed potatoes is my number one as well. And it's just like, there's so many different things you can do with mashed potatoes too. Like, you put a little cheese, some scallions in there.
Oh yeah.
You can mix it up a little bit. So I'm going to say a shot. That is the best.
So do you guys then take the turkey and then just kind of mix it right into the mashed potatoes and the gravy, so you get it all in one,
the gravy with
one forkful.
I do the gravy with the mashed potatoes. I don't mix the turkey and the potatoes, though.
You keep your meat separate there?
Keep everything.
Do you do the gravy
off
with the turkey, yeah, though? Because turkey's a dry bird,
yes,
man.
You have to. You have to.
Have that dry. You got to get it wet.
Yeah. What do they do up in Michigan, huh?
Promo code ESPN.
Stick it in the lake, huh?
Yeah, do you stick it in the lake?
We're not barbarians, Tyler.
Stick it in the lake.
Gravy on the turkey.
Do you stick it in the lake?
Sometimes I don't even care for the turkey, to be honest. I'd rather have ham.
Shay's ordering Jets for Thanksgiving dinner.
When we get to deal breakers later, there will be an alternative Thanksgiving food deal breaker that I found disgusting. A friend of mine told me about this week.
Do you use a pumpkin pie? Yes or no? Deal breaker with the whipped cream. Just spray it on there. The whipped cream. Just spray it. Snorebore.
Cap and J-Hood mornings on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. Cap, J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Tyler Aki filling in for Cap and Jay Hood this morning on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. We're talking Bears football with you here on ESPN 1000. Will Justin Fields play this week? That's the question on the table. It turned to, like, will he be out for the entire season from Monday? But it seems as if Ian Rappaport from the NFL Network is walking that back, that he had a dislocated shoulder from Monday. Courtney Cronin here on ESPN 1000 yesterday with Waddle and Sylvie said that she has heard that it's not that serious. So what level of injury does Fields have? We will find out today as the Bears return to practice at Halas Hall today. There is an interesting scheduling situation with the Bears today. What we've seen through the season to this point here as we enter in what? We're going into week 12 of the NFL season. So each week on Wednesdays, before practice, we hear from Matt Eberflus up at Halas Hall, and then immediately following Eberflus, Justin Fields comes to the podium. He talks to the reporters. Why is this important? Because the Bears sent out an email with the scheduling for today, and for the first time this season, Eberflus will speak before practice. Justin Fields is listed to speak, but he will do so after practice, and thus it sent up a alert to Tyler, myself, to others who are on this email and suggesting, okay, the Bears say Fields will talk today, but it's after practice, which could possibly lead to a situation where he doesn't practice, therefore he doesn't need to speak. So we will find out after practice. And obviously, Eberflus will be asked about it before practice. I'm assuming Eberflus will say, we'll find out when we get out there for practice. Mm-hmm. And then they'll release the who participated portion of the email.
That comes out usually, what, like 2:30-ish?
Yeah,
so that would be after the scheduled Justin Fields.
We'll know if Fields talks.
But they could always push that back, too.
Yeah, there are elements in this that it's possible that it's not as serious as we originally were led to believe by the NFL Network, and that the Bears are just trying to have some gamesmanship back mm-hmm. and forth with the Jets. I mean, the Jets are also a team. They're 6-4 who have some quarterback questions of their own heading into this week. So if the Bears could maybe make the Jets have to prepare for Fields, even if he's not actually going to play this week, it would be nice for them to spend some time wasting and planning for Justin Fields. We'll find out all that information later on today at Halas Hall.
And this is a coaching staff that, even going back to like training camp and OTAs, they were very secretive about the injuries then. They wouldn't tell you where on the body it was. They wouldn't tell you how long they may be out unless it was a significant injury. Like I think you heard with Byron Pringle, you knew he was going to be out for a while. And N'Keal Harry, you knew he was going to be out for a while. But that's just the way that this coaching staff rolls. And listen, if you win games, fine. Do whatever you want. It doesn't matter to me whether or not how you disclose the injuries and whatnot. But if you're not winning games and you're doing out of the spirit of gamesmanship, then it sounds like we're back in the Nagy era.
Well, yeah. I mean, My impression of Matt Eberflus to this point is that with Matt Nagy, it felt a little used car salesman.
Yeah.
With the whole situation, he was just so eager to tell you all the things that he knew. He just wanted to impress you so much about how all this wealth of knowledge he had offensively. And then you like see the plays that were called, and like his go-tos were gimmicks, right? Like, remember that he was using offensive linemen to run out for pass routes. He was doing all these little cute little things, and it felt kind of like fraudish, to a certain extent. And I know in hindsight, it's easy to suggest that now because we're after it and we knew that it was a train wreck. But Eberflus, this entire offseason into training camp and into the season, has felt like someone who is comfortable in their own skin and comfortable with this moment. Not like it's not a first-time head coach who immediately jumped on the scene and now is getting that first job and he's overwhelmed. It has felt this entire year as if Matt Eberflus was prepared for this moment. Whether or not he's a good head coach or not, I don't know if we can determine that at the moment. But I do feel like the Bears are in good hands at the moment with someone who is ready to take on being the head coach of a team. It feels comfortable having Eberflus be the leader of this group.
It feels like with Nagy, you use the word salesman.
Mm-hmm.
And with Eberflus, it feels more strategy. Right. Yeah. It feels like he knows what he's doing. And even like a little thing that's not really a little thing, but Nagy comes in and calls the plays.
Yeah.
Eberflus comes in, seeds the defense off to Allen Williams, and just wants to sort of manage things from a bird's eye view. And we've seen with first-time head coaches how overwhelming it can be. I mean, look at Nathaniel Hackett out in Denver.
Oh, that's absolutely
a train wreck. Train wreck right now. He's clearly overwhelmed. I think he's had to hire like 3 or 4 aides this year to help him out. Like, it hasn't gone well. But Eberflus, everything seems calm, whereas with Nagy, things seemed panicked.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's where this conversation with Eberflus, to me, I think it's interesting. Defensively, they have been a disaster. Offensively, they've been very good. At the end of games, they haven't been as good. But I think the offense has impressed us from what we thought they would be heading into the season. Now, with that said, I get he's a defensive-minded head coach, but don't you have to give some credit to the offense, to Eberflus, for allowing Getsy to implement what he wants to implement?
Well, how about hiring Getsy?
Hiring him, and then, like, Eberflus is taking the CEO approach. He's involved in the offensive game planning. He knows what's going on. It's not as if there's a complete separation between the two sides. So, like, for as much as I want to point out that he's a defensive-minded head coach with a terrible defense, I do think we have to give some credit for the offense to Eberflus because of what he's instilled into this organization at this point.
If he wasn't a CEO, I'd have way more questions about him because of how bad the defense has been and how hyper-focused he probably would have been on the defense. But because he's the CEO, you're right. Like, he spreads out throughout the building. He'll go with the offense, the defense, special teams. He's a part of it all. So for as much credit or as much success as the offense is having, yes, he certainly deserves a portion of that credit, certainly.
Chris Black, Tyler Aki in for Cap and Jay Hood this morning. We're taking your calls at 312-332-3776. It's the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. A lot of people are excited to go out, see old friends, go out party tonight. It's one of the biggest party days of the entire year. And then, Thanksgiving tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I think Thanksgiving is the best day of the year. And that is not a hot take. I'm not saying this to get a lot of shocking responses. I think most people enjoy the idea that you have the day off, you have football, and you have food. And there's nothing really better than that combination. That's a great day right there.
I think it's the best holiday, but not the best day of the year. The best
what
day
you,
of the
like
year.
August 22nd?
No, the best day of the year is that first day. It could be August 22nd, but that first day that feels like summer. It's like summer has arrived.
Ooh. First day of summer.
Not
is
the
better.
First day of summer, but like on the calendar, you know how it marks
the like first day
June
21st. Like
the first day it feels like summer.
Yeah,
when you know you've turned the corner for good.
There's a day. I mean, I think most of us realize that you're walking around the city and things look a little different. that day.
Yeah.
Things are popping, right? Yeah. Like there you can tell. And then also you not only that, then you get the weird smells coming up from the CTA, right? Like you're walking the street.
Little must.
Yeah. It's a hot smell that's coming seeping through the cracks of the cement.
Yeah.
You're like, "Oh, summer's here. Yep. This is great." All right, we'll take your calls at 312-332-3776. We're talking Bears with you.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and Jay Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bop, 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 bop.
And listen to Cap and Jay Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Morning, it's Bleck and Aki in for Cap and Jay Hood right here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. We're talking Bears football with you here on ESPN 1000. We go to downtown Dean on ESPN 1000. Hello, Dean.
Thank you. Love you.
Need you. Want you.
Tyler Aki, the chosen one. And Chris Bleck, hot wife, talented guy.
Yeah.
I'm proud of both of you, kid. You woke up today and found a way to host a radio show because every day is a money-making opportunity. My biggest regret in life is not having lunch with Secretariat before he took a dirt nap. Because I always say, tune out the matote and live life all in because nobody puts baby in the corner. Take that.
All right, there you go. Downtown Dean. Normally, that's a Cap and Jay Hood regular there.
Usually, I haven't heard from him in a while, but he wanted to give his Cap impression today.
Mm-hmm.
Forgot Be a Shark.
Needs work. Needs work.
All right. I told you guys this is going to be a weird Wednesday. People are saying, why are you saying it's a weird Wednesday? Because it's a weird Wednesday. It's the day before everyone goes and gets drunk before Thanksgiving. Oh, sure. No, Jake, you can continue giving us the, it's fine. Just let it seep in.
Probably need it in a second anyway.
We go to Chase on the south side. Hello, Chase.
What's up, guys?
What's up, Chase?
What's going on, Tyler?
What's up, Chase?
What are you guys doing? Hey, Black. Hey.
Chase.
Hey, why was you upset with me when I told you about the Lakers?
What do you mean? We're keeping it on track. We're talking Bears football this morning.
I know, man. Hey. So, did you see the situation where the Bears, Fields doesn't play? Did you recall this like a DeBurrow situation? Do you remember when he went out for the season and they got the top three pick and that's how they end up?
I do.
With Jamar Chase.
And
what happened? Yeah, and they went to the Super Bowl. So, did you see a similar situation in this?
Well, I would say this, Chase. Joe Burrow at that point was way better than Justin Fields. And that's not to throw shade at Fields. He's been great to this point, I think, in what we expected in his development this season. But I think it was pretty obvious early on that Joe Burrow is going to be in the conversation of some of the great quarterbacks in the NFL. And I think he's a top five guy. And I think when he went down, it was pretty obvious that he was definitely the real deal.
Tyler, I got to ask you this question too. Between, obviously right now we're getting towards halfway through the season. So as you can see, the teams are separated. So who would you say are the top three teams in the NFC and the top three teams in the AFC? Cause do you believe that the Cowboys, the Eagles and the 49ers and in the AFC, do you believe it's the Bills, the Chiefs and the Dolphins that are the top three teams? Who are y'all top three teams right now? Right now, so far this season. And what was y'all Super Bowl prediction? Like, what y'all think going to the Super Bowl so far right now?
All right, you got division winners.
We got 20 questions
Tyler,
here. Yeah.
Division winners.
But we'll what about the who's going to be picking sixth in the draft this year? Who's sixth in the draft?
What do you think, Chase? What do you got?
Who's picking sixth this year?
Who's winning the NFC South?
Who's winning the NFC South?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, by default, say Tampa Bay.
Okay.
And, I mean, that's the way I look at it. But I'm just saying, like, so far right now, the top three teams in the NFC have been, right now, is the Cowboys, the Eagles, and the 49ers. And I was just saying in the AFC, it's more deeper, but I would say in the AFC, you got the Chiefs, the Dolphins, and maybe it's between either the Bills and the Ravens. But so far, it's sort of deep right now in the AFC.
No respect for the Vikings, huh?
No.
The 8-2 Vikings.
All right. Okay.
No. But, no.
All right. Thank you, Chase. Thank you.
All right. That's all good one.
All right, Chase. Jace, have a great day.
Oh, Chase hung up. Wow. He usually doesn't hang up. He hangs around.
I thought that we could have a good debate over divisional winners.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on
a Feel Good Wednesday?
How are you feeling about the AFC North? Any AFC North thoughts for you?
AFC North? Well, here's the deal. I think the Bengals are better than people think. I think they're a good football team. And once they get Chase back into the mix, hopefully in a couple of weeks, they're 6-4 at the moment. I think the Bengals are actually better than the Ravens at 7-3. And it goes back to the conversation we started with Chase. I think Joe Burrow is the real deal. And I like their defense. Good edge rushers. They can get to the quarterback. Pickens saw that on Sunday in that win for the Bengals over the Steelers. All right, top three teams in the AFC. Who are you picking?
Top three in the AFC. I'm going to go. I think the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC. Patrick Mahomes is playing like the undisputed MVP of the league right now. And just if you play in a close game with the Chiefs, you feel uncomfortable. And I think it's even more so than if you're playing in a close game with the Bills, especially right now, because even though the Bills won this past Sunday against the Browns,
yep.
they were kicking a lot of field goals. It wasn't as many touchdowns, but I'm still going with the Chiefs. I think the Bills are second. And then for the third team, I mean, the Tennessee Titans just, I don't know if they're the third best team. I think there's a clear 1-2 order in this conference, and it's going to be those two teams that meet up, and one of those teams will be representing the AFC in the Super Bowl. But I think the Titans aren't getting enough respect right now because they're just taking care of business against teams, and they just try to out-physical you and punch you in the mouth. And in a one-and-done tournament-style format, it wouldn't shock me to see them upset someone.
Well, here's what I'm thinking with you on this. I think right now you could say Kansas City, Tennessee, Buffalo are the three best teams. The problem with that would be that Tennessee, in that one game situation, we saw that it doesn't necessarily work.
Right.
The Bengals went to Tennessee last year and they beat them.
Even though Tennessee, what, did they sack Burrow 9 times in that game?
Yeah, but Joe Burrow was still the better player mm-hmm. in that situation. And like Ryan Tannehill just can't get it done
right.
in those one game situations. But I think in the regular season, they are a better team because they can out-physical you, that the pounding in the run game, and then also up front defensively. They're good, man. I think Tennessee is a strong team. In Buffalo, everyone is refusing to say that they're not top two because it's what everyone said heading into the season. Even though they're 7-3, they don't even lead their division. The Dolphins are the leader in the division at 7-3 at the moment. I think we all have to be a little disappointed in what we've seen from Josh Allen to this point. Everyone expected him to be the greatest quarterback in the history of the world. I listen to Cap and Jay Hood. I know Snorbor was on the Josh Allen train going to 7-3 at this moment. He hasn't played as good as I think we all thought he would to this point.
No, and part of it may be injuries, too, that he's dealing with from that Jets game, but he certainly has been a little bit underwhelmed. It seemed like he was the walkaway MVP earlier this season. I mean, how many times do we see that over the course of a regular season? Oh, this guy's the undisputed MVP. Oh, he's going to be a unanimous MVP decision by the end of the year. And you see like four or five different guys carry that crown over the course of the season. The other thing with the Titans, though, is this. They're not going to come back on you.
No.
If they go down, it's over.
Yeah, they have one like game script that they can stick to. Mm-hmm. They have to score early, run the football, and get after your quarterback.
Whereas if you play, let's say they play the Dolphins at some point in the playoffs, if Tua goes down and scores on those first two drives, it's probably over. Game's probably over. Same thing can be said about the Bills and the Chiefs. If they score on the first couple drives, two of the first three, it's probably over.
NFC, I'm comfortable in saying Philadelphia and Dallas are the two best teams.
Yes.
I think finding that third team is tough. I want to crap on the Vikings, But they are 8-2. The stats would suggest that they're not worthy of having an 8-2 record. But at the moment, you kind of have to give them a little credit. Could we see something from the Giants tomorrow against the Cowboys where we say, you know, the Giants are 7-3. If they beat the Cowboys on the road, maybe that's a top three team in the AFC. I mean, the NFC.
Yeah, I mean, and you look at their two losses, the Vikings, their two losses are to Philly and to Dallas.
Yeah.
So they are two to the 1-2 teams in the conference. I'm with you. I think Philly and Dallas are 1-2. I really like the Niners defense. I think D'Amico Ryans does a really good job with that unit. And we've seen Jimmy G is good enough to get you there, right?
I
don't know if he's going to be good enough to beat the likes of the Cowboys and the Eagles, but I think he's good enough to get you there.
Seattle's in the conversation. Tampa Bay, what do you do with them? They're 5-5. Brady, could he make
playing
a
better
run here? He's playing better as of late. And the Packers are lurking. They're in the hunt still, 4-7. Could the Packers turn around their season? That's something that's in the background of the NFC as well. Blekin Aki, sitting in for Cap and Jay Hood. We're talking to you here on ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox! Let's go, go!
For Cap and Jay Hood this morning. Kick off your holiday season by giving the gift of the White Sox with a holiday pack starting at $49. Get 6 ticket vouchers redeemable for more than 60 games during the 2023 season. Visit whitesox.com/holidaypacks for more information. 6 ticket vouchers for $49. We're giving away a 6-pack right now here on Cap and Jay Hood. Caller 10 at 312-332-3776. That's right, regular line. Caller 10 gets a 6-pack brought to you by the White Sox and ESPN 1000. Your home for White Sox baseball right here on ESPN 1000.
Do we have another line?
Irregular line?
No, well, we've got one of those?
I'm a strong Cap and Jay Hood listener, and to keep it with the format, it's caller 10, regular line.
All right, so that's not how, the irregular line,
yeah, that's
just
how,
the regular
that's
line.
That's how we got do it, right, on the Cap and Jay Hood show. I listened. I hear it, absolutely. We are sitting here talking football with you here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. There is a possible huge upset, a Bruin, in the World Cup. And I know Shay Norling is very invested in this as we're sitting here during the show. Japan has scored 2 goals late on Germany. It's 2-1, Japan over Germany. They're in the 92nd minute. There is 7 minutes of stoppage time added to the game. So, you know, give or take about 5 minutes left for Germany to tie. But this would be a major blow to Germany, who, if you drop your first game to arguably the third team in the group, there's a strong possibility you're not getting through, as it's one of the tougher groups in all the World Cup.
We've had a couple upsets already. So far, I mean, yesterday with Argentina and Saudi Arabia, I mean, they're popping up. It's weird because soccer seems like one of those sports where you don't get a lot of upsets, right? Like, everything sort of sticks to script. You may get draw, and I think the draw certainly has a factor to that. I think we'd see less and less or more upsets if there weren't draws.
Sure.
Because sometimes you just see teams just pack it in and you play for the draw, right? But we've seen a couple of pretty intriguing upsets if Japan can hold on here.
Yeah, Argentina loses their first match to Saudi Arabia. You see, you know, the U.S. is in a situation where Friday, you could argue, is the biggest game in U.S. soccer history to this point. And that, I don't know if that's really saying much, but obviously the hype that goes behind it with England and the U.S., most of this country will be off of work on Friday, so people will be able to gather in bars or to watch that game. But it's a huge match for the U.S. on Friday against England, because England, they won big in their first match, so goal differential is going to factor in. And the U.S. getting the tie against Wales on Monday, it's not the worst-case scenario for the U.S., but it's also not the best, because for a good portion of that match, the U.S. had control, and then it flipped at halftime, and they were on the back foot for the entire second half defending. And the fact that Wales scores on a penalty kick late from Gareth Bale, the U.S. had a victory, and if they would have gotten that, it would have been the perfect situation, especially the way they started and the amount of pressure that they forced at the start, the first 20-25 minutes of the match, but the U.S. is in for it on Friday. But if they could somehow pull off that underdog upset, mm-hmm. I mean, it's happening in this tournament. And right now we see Japan up 2-1 on Germany as they're in the 94th minute.
I'm not going to lie. I was very excited for the World Cup, the whole buildup, the anticipation of everything that was going in. And then to have a tie. I mean, you waited 8 years for a tie.
Okay. So you're going like, you're going all American on this. You're just doing the how could you tie?
No, what I'm not this? Even mad that it, like I'm not mad with the tie format. It's just like you waited 8 years and then you got a tie.
Well, and some will point to this team is young. They're the second youngest group that's at the World Cup. Some people are pointing to 2026. North America is hosting, and there's a lot of people suggesting that this is an experience situation for the U.S. this run, and that the real run will take place in 26. I would imagine that would just get us all of our hopes up to be let down in 26.
So this year, they're learning how to win.
Well, I mean, right. I guess, but you know, the World Cup trips are it's fickle, right? Like you assume that we get Pulisic for
right.
Four World Cups, hopefully, for his lifespan. And then the team doesn't make it in the last one. So you basically burn half of Pulisic's prime
right.
not participating in the World Cup, which then would mean it actually means a little bit more right now because in 4 years, will Christian Pulisic still be the most impactful player on the U.S. team? I would imagine he'll be starting to enter the decline in his prime at that point. And Shay, today, this matchup, this is a huge situation for Germany.
Well, yeah, when you're in a group with Spain, you can't lose the first one. Losing the first one to Japan really puts you behind the eight ball because then I think they play Spain next on right. Sunday, and that's must win, and you have to win it by a lot because goal differential comes into play.
Right.
Like the saving grace for the U.S. is you get the free space with Iran, and at least you're tied in goal differential right now with Wales. So get the win against Iran, score a lot, and do your best to tie England, and I think you're okay.
Like Germany's best case scenario would be Japan losing their next two games.
Correct.
Because Japan's going to be the team, if Spain can win, like Japan and Spain would be the teams who are in the best case scenario to get out of this group, Group E, for the World Cup. So there you go.
Germany didn't advance the last World Cup, right? Did I have that right?
I think so, but that was like their oldest team
ever.
Yeah,
they had a team two World Cups ago that went far, and they had a bunch of very famous names that were no longer in their prime. And yeah, I think that's the case. So there you go. World Cup Boom. Conversation.
A little soccer chat.
All right. Danny's driving into a ditch right now. We'll get back to Bears conversation. What will happen with Justin Fields? Will he play this week? Is the shoulder dislocated? What's going on? What will we find out today at House Hall? It's Black and Aki in for Cap and Jay Hood.
This is Cap and Jay Hood
on ESPN 1000.